this is a grand life God has given us. Oh, I hope we all can appreciate it more and more. And now, young lady that I thoroughly appreciate, I love her dearly, and you do too, every one of you. If you don't love her, it's just because you haven't got to see her or meet her, because she's absolutely just a bowl of love, very intelligent, very spiritual, expresses herself so well. It's our Lindy. Thank you, Millie. Good evening.
Good evening.
I want to say, giving all praise and thanks to God and the angels. So I will. Many of you have heard me speak before, and many times I've bemoaned the difficulty in finding a topic to talk about. But tonight I didn't have any difficulty, because I'm going to talk about the only topic there is. I want to start out with a country song, though, and get that out of the way. Keith Urban. The song is Baby, I'm In, and the quote is, "If I knew what I was doing, I'd be doing it right now." Of course, the only topic there is love. But it comes with life and laughter if we do it right, and I want to spend a little bit of time on each of those before I get to the main theme. Starting with life. We once learned as children that life's a magazine. How much it costs? Dime. Only got a nickel. That's life. Life can be everything, and it can be nothing. It's all in the attitude that we bring to it. It's life versus death on the one hand, but in this belief pattern, we know there is no death, so we can't say that life is different than death, simply that we live in a different kind of body. Then there's life versus simple existence. I once heard simple existence described as television and Tupperware. Not to take a stab at anybody who sells Tupperware or buys it, for that matter, because my niece is a Tupperware distributor. And certainly not to take a stab at anybody who watches television, because I watch as much of it as anybody, even if it's only limited to baseball and reality television. But think about it. If all we have in our life is television and Tupperware, and the things that come with those two concepts, because I mean them in the sense of concepts, not in the sense of things, then are we truly living, or are we simply existing? Are we realizing the passion and the drama and the excitement and the enthusiasm of life, or are we just trudging from day to day in a kind of dreary, unrewarding, unfulfilling nightmare? And even if it's not a nightmare, it can seem to be a dream when we're in that state. And we keep wishing we would wake up as from a dream. Life is a choice. Every day we have the choice to live or to exist. To live or to spiritually, emotionally, mentally, and even physically die. Every day we have the choice to choose life, to choose vibrancy, to choose enthusiasm, to choose laughter, to choose love. Life is a choice. And if we make it, then we show up here on Wednesday nights. Because this evening, every week, is about laughter, is about life, and is about love. And if you don't experience some of all three of those on a Wednesday night, then you're not making the right choices. Because life is a choice. So suppose we choose life. What then? Well, then comes laughter. Because if you choose life, you cannot choose an absence of laughter. It just doesn't work that way. Laughter is a part of our mojo. If we don't have our mojo working, we're not laughing. And if our mojo is not working, we're not alive. Laughter comes with joy and comes with happiness. And certainly it comes with the ability to laugh at ourselves, because a sense of humor requires that we be the first target of our own laughter. Now, I don't have any jokes planned for tonight, but I've already made you laugh. But it wasn't me making you laugh. It was you seeing the humor in a situation that caused you to laugh. I mean, I could come out with a little Johnny joke if I had one. I'm trying to think if I have one. Little Johnny jokes, as we know, are the sole purview of Connie Ferris. But I do have one that I gave to her, and I think I might have used it somewhere along the line. The teacher said, "Little Johnny, what's your favorite Jesus story?" And Johnny said, "You know, the one where he's unemployed?" And the teacher said, "Unemployed? Jesus?" And Johnny said, "You know, the one where he loafs and fishes?" I rest my case. And if we are truly living, something doesn't have to be really funny for us to see the humor in it. I mean, well, I guess I don't want to say that. But suffice it to say, sometimes I have trouble pulling up my drawers. And this is this is reminiscent of an old Broomhilda cartoon, actually. If you remember Broomhilda, she says, "How does it go? 1, 2, 3, and..." And her friend says, "No, it goes, and she's pulling up a girdle. It's as simple as 1, 2, 3, but it's Well, that's me when I have a problem with my britches. Laughter can be its own medicine. Certainly it's the best medicine. We all know the story of Norman Cousins, who took his diagnosis of severe illness to the front of his television and watched Abbott and Costello. He could have watched The Three Stooges, or he could have watched W.C. Fields, or he could have watched season one of Cheers, or he could have watched any number of shows that cause us to laugh. We each have our own favorites. Laugh In, I heard over here from Lloyd, I think it was. Laugh In was one of my favorites. It doesn't take more than one glimpse of Ruth Buzzy with her big purse sitting on a park bench to cause me to laugh, because I know what's coming. Some pervert is going to approach her and she's going to hit him with a purse. And Artie Johnson tipping over on his bicycle. We all, those of us who are old enough, remember these that epitomized laughter. Laugh In was a show that was outrageous and irreverent, and as a result, constantly funny. If we choose to, in that life that we've chosen to live, we can choose to find life constantly funny. We can find the humor in even the most terrible situations. Dan Maddox, who's worked for many years as a, what do they call it? Coroner. Well, that's not what I was hoping to come up with, but that's what he was. As a county coroner, so he's seen death in all shapes and sizes. Has as good a sense of humor as anyone you'll ever want to meet. And those who work in hospice and who deal with the terminally ill also are noted for their sense of humor, because how else are you going to live life in the face of that change called death except to laugh at it in its face and to find things funny when they are seemingly not? Laughter is also a choice. And thank you to the angels for providing me with an example of it right outside the door. So that leaves love. Well, it doesn't actually leave love. It leads to love, let's say. Love is everything. And surprisingly, love is complex and confusing and difficult and intricate and insane. I once heard a song on the radio, country station, and it was Leanne Rimes, and I thought the song was Nothing But Love Makes Sense, which made sense to me. But as Kate points out, the real lyric of the song was Nothing About Love Makes Sense, which is sort of a contradiction, but they're both true. Nothing about love makes sense, and nothing but love makes sense. When I say love, what do I mean? I could quote Corinthians, but I'm not going to, because you can all read Corinthians, and we've quoted it numerous times at this very lectern. But I want to talk about several different kinds of love. There's love for ourselves. Now, I actually had the wonderful experience of falling in love with myself back in 1983. And it was a love affair very much like those I read about in romance novels, with the unfortunate exception of there only being one of us. But I experienced the infatuation, the pounding heart, the thrill of seeing myself in the mirror and recognizing my own beauty. It was as if I were truly the object of my own affections. And in fact, I was. I discovered that I had qualities that were lovable, and I fell in love with them. Of course, like many relationships with self or others, I fell out of love with myself and have been working to recapture that feeling ever since. But you know, relationships that are based on love, whether they're with others or with ourselves, are worth working for, are worth investing the time and energy into making them happen, especially if we choose to. So love of self is primary. Of course, there's love of animals. Love of animals is unique and wonderful in that animals provide unconditional love unlike any human being we have met, and up to and including Millie. I included her not because she's not an animal, but because she's the closest thing to human unconditional love that many of us have experienced. But animals don't know conditions. They simply love you for the food and the shelter that you give them, and for the pets and the hugs and the licks, and because you are. Animals love us simply because we are, and we love them the same way in return, which is a wonderful experience of love that can be good practice for other types of love. There's love of place. For example, I love San Diego. I say that with my full heart. I love living here. I love being here. I love saying I'm from here. I love being considered a San Diegan. Why is that, do you suppose? It's a combination of weather and people and beautiful geography and choice. I've chosen San Diego as my home. And as they say, and as we know, home is where the heart is. My heart is in San Diego. Then there's love of friends. I can say I love my friends and mean it in all sincerity. Love of friends includes not caring if they snore when you go on road trips. Millie truly loves me. And I truly love her. Because a snore isn't a distraction in an otherwise night of sleep. A snore is a security blanket, proving once and for all that your beloved is alive and well, albeit asleep. I did make a note or two. Oh, yeah, of course, my two favorite things in the world that I love, music and baseball. We can love an inanimate object or a thing or an event or a sport or a sound simply because we relate to it in a unique and special way. I love baseball. As we have seen, if we've been paying attention over the last couple of weeks, the world loves soccer. And I have to confess I'm having a little bit of an infatuation with it myself. I don't believe I need to paint my face, wear funny wigs, and drape scarves around my neck in the middle of summer. But I can appreciate that there are people who love soccer. The Padres are my unique and special love in that regard. And music, when I say I love music, I mean I appreciate it, I enjoy it, I love listening to it, I love the feelings it can evoke in me. But is this the same kind of love as the love of animals or the love of friends or the love of self? You'll have to each answer that question for yourselves because I'm not going to give you any hints. So there are lots of different kinds of love. When I speak of infatuation, that's a kind of love. I remember being at the Hollywood Gold Cup at Hollywood Park in 1978 when Affirmed was running. Affirmed had won the Triple Crown that previous year, and he was about to become the horse racing world's first $2 million winner. Can you imagine? Nowadays, they run for $2 million in an afternoon. But he was reaching $2 million for his career at that point in time. And I was hanging on the rail close to the finish line with my camera in my hand. And as he came around the final turn, my heart was pounding so in my chest that I forgot to zoom. I was ecstatic and thrilled and unbelievably excited. And I have these pictures of this horse about this big. But when he did make it to the winner's circle, I got a good close-up of that gorgeous chestnut coat of his. And I loved Affirmed in those moments. I loved him all that summer when he ran against Aladar and won the Triple Crown, and I loved him even more when I was up close and personal, even though I did forget to zoom. So sometimes love can be thrilling, and sometimes love can be steady. Sometimes love can be unconditional, and sometimes it can be challenging. But love is everything. There's a song in the Sunday songbook, or two. I don't believe either one of them is a country song, as we know. You couldn't call Janis Joplin in your wildest dreams country, nor could you really call John Denver country, but John Denver's song is Perhaps Love. Perhaps love is like a window, perhaps an open door. It invites you to come closer. It wants to show you more. And even if you lose yourself and don't know what to do, the memory of love will see you through. Love is like a cloud, to some as strong as steel. For some a way of living, for some a way to feel. And some say love is holding on, and some say letting go. And some say love is everything, and some say, I don't know. Love is like that. It's everything from everything to I don't know. Harking back to my original lyric, it's about love too. If I knew what I was doing, I'd be doing it right now. If I knew what love really was between a man and a woman, I would open my heart to love and find the right man. They would be like a cross-section of all the men in this room tonight and more. Like Julio and Eric, who met me at the car and helped me out of this car seat. Like Dave, who helped me out of the chair. like Ray, who sang, like George, who loves baseball, and me. And like all the rest of you here, who I don't know as well, but who have the qualities of compassion and kindness and gentleness and a sense of humor and a choice of life. And with all those things, I want to leave you with a quote from Araya Mountain Dreamer. She wrote a trilogy of books called The Invitation, The Call, and The Dance. And this is from her book, The Dance. Because, as we know, John Michael Montgomery tells us so, life is a dance. Take me to the places on the earth that teach you how to dance, the places where you can risk letting the world break your heart. And I will take you to the places where the earth beneath my feet and the stars overhead make my heart whole again and again. Don't say yes, just take my hand and dance with me. And thank you for dancing with me tonight.
That kid does a lot of